listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality, with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, welcome to the Spirit of Life Program for Wednesday, September 10th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter. Welcome.
Good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm very glad to be here.
So glad to have you, and so glad to have those that join us in the live chat as well. Always appreciate seeing you. Always appreciate your contributions. I also want to thank those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, we're going to be talking about a couple different things. I know that we're going to be going into, I don't think just playing cards, but several things. Want to do a little housekeeping on the outset. We like to keep it fresh and different here on the Spirit of Life. And last week I had pneumonia, and this week I brought you COVID. So that's just my personal contributions. So,
gee, Michael.
Oh, and an ear infection. I don't know how that happened when I was on antibiotics for the pneumonia, but... anywho, my body's falling apart, so we're going to enjoy this conversation while it lasts until I crumble like the dude at the end of Last Crusade, Indiana Jones' Last Crusade, when he drank from the wrong cup. But another thing, I just want to keep it brief. I just want to touch on it very broadly. From the Minnesota representative, her husband and dog that were gunned down earlier this summer, to the event today, things are getting a little scary out there. I just want to tell people, you know, obviously, as metaphysicians, we want to engage with ideas and things like that. But even in beyond all that, I'm just going to tell everybody, be safe out there. You know, keep your head on a swivel, be safe, and just, you know, remember to look out for one another. That's just what I wanted to say about that.
Well said. Well said, Michael.
Oh, thank you.
I have no words. I shudder to think, you know, but you're right. Keep a level head, people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, well, I'd like to dive into a little history, if I may.
Absolutely. I was absolutely about to throw you under the bus for that anyway, so you go right ahead.
Well, I have to begin with a little story. Back in my early days, and my late mentor, Magda, she had been taught by the old gypsies about the tarot. And she had said that the tarot consisted of two languages. And how the tribes, that kind of joined together and added in one extra card, which is the page, to, bridge these two tribes. And of course, the major arcana, she said, comes from, in her opinion, the, 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. But of course, what was missing to me was, well, where did the regular deck of playing cards come from? Now, you can see all kinds of Oh, when was the first tarot cards? 1400s, 15. Like there's so many different theories about it. And are you there, Michael? I keep hearing a buzzing.
I'm here. I'm on mute right now. I know Wendy said
Oh.
she had lost us for a minute, but got us back. So,
Yeah. It was
fingers crossed, it
just
should be good.
dinging. Okay, we're good then. So anyway, I came across a video the other day. I sent it to a few people and I posted it because it just kind of if it's true, you know, because what do we know? But apparently, according to this video, the minor arcana or regular deck of playing cards comes from medieval society, which I can certainly relate to that. That makes sense. But here's the kicker. I might have to repeat some of this. In each suit, those four suits, in each suit is 13 cards. Well, four suits, that comes out to 52 cards, which equals the 52 weeks in a year. Now stay with me on this. But if you add up the value of the cards, now ace is one, and you go right through to the jack is 11, queen is 12, and a king is 13, and you add up the value of all those cards, you come up to 364, which are the 364 days in a year. One joker is 365, because every deck of cards has a joker. But if there's two jokers in a card, it's the leap year. So, I went, what? Like, what? Are we kidding? So just to say that again, there's four suits. Each suit has 13 cards. That equals 52 weeks in a year. That's what that's symbolic of. But if you give the cards a value of 1 to 13, add up all those values, it comes to 364. Add in a joker, 365. Two jokers is a leap year. Okay, I'm thinking back to a leap year. Would they have put those new cards out in the leap year? Or how does that go? But anyway, so what they also said in here is each of the suits represents something. The spades are warriors, the hearts are the church, the diamonds are merchants, and the clubs are peasants. So all the red cards are day, the black cards are night. So it kind of reflects a whole history and of a society back again in, you know, the medieval times, kind of like a mini calendar. So I thought, could that be the kind of tribe or a language of sorts that, you know, my late teacher Magda was talking about where two languages joined together to create the tarot. Now, why would somebody do that? I'm not really sure. Except, it's like everything is symbolic. Everything has numeric values. So, excuse me. Do you know that you can't talk and breathe and swallow at the same time, Michael?
It just sounds like a lack of effort.
Oh, gee.
I'm kidding, yes.
Oh,
No,
gee.
I get you. I've had that
Yeah,
same
sorry
thing.
about that.
You know.
So it's just a piece of history, and it kind of was a missing link for me that it's a great possibility.
Oh yeah. One thing I love, again, I know we gave him a shout out last week, but rightfully, this is kind of inspired on a video that Dr. Vicky and I got from Dr. Mike, and it was very interesting, and kind of, I didn't put as much time in it, I think, as you did, but I've been kind of bebopping around some things the last couple of days. One thing that really gets me on these playing cards is how they tie in the histories of so many different cultures. Originating in the Far East of China, going through the Arab and Turkish empires into Europe and France and all the different changes. What was it? There was something, I can't remember, I was reading at it yesterday. One of the cards is, officers, French car maker certified designs. I'm trying to figure out, because I was reading through yesterday, and one of them, I think the Joker is relatively recent. I think that's what
See,
it was.
See, what do you believe in where and how? I always thought Joker was there in case you lost a card.
Well, I'm just reading through here, diamond suits, French suits. I was reading through yesterday, and one of them was like, that's only been around since the 19th century? That's crazy.
By the way, I'm very remiss, Dr. Mike. I'm sorry. I remembered last week that you sent me that link. I just had a brain glitch tonight, so I want to give you absolute credit for sending me that video. Thank you very much.
No, it was very interesting.
It was very cool.
It was.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting way of how it's an interesting tool to look back on how human beings have viewed things throughout time. And these playing cards and tarot cards and everything like that, it's a combination of those cultures that I find most interesting. So that's just my take.
Well, I'm kind of blown away. Again, we hear all kinds of stories. You can read all kinds of things. I always went by Magda's, again, long before the internet, people, where everything was by apprenticeship in this, you know, word of mouth, apprenticeship. And for where her life and who she had come in contact with and who taught her and that made sense to me, like passed down through the ages. But again, there's no verification for that.
Right.
You know, and even now you go on Google, I don't believe half of what Google says anymore. I've done lots of research online about the tarot, where it comes from and, you know, what theories and Wikipedia, something else. They all say something different.
Oh, sure. And I think tarot is what I meant to say. I know there's a relation, but I think tarot probably departs sharply from what we would call like a playing card deck, right?
Yeah.
But
I mean,
one thing, have you heard of this before? I'm on it now, and I'm kind of brushing up again because I've been looking at some of this yesterday briefly. One thing that I didn't know is, and I'm just going to read this from the Wikipedia article on it, and of course they have the sources in there. I encourage you to go check it and don't just take my word on it. But there are different suits based on different regions. So we are familiar with the French card suits, and like, for example, Italian would be cups, coins, clubs, and swords. Spanish, cups, coins, same, cups, coins, in Portuguese.
Yeah.
Germans, hearts, bells, acorns, leaves. That's fun. The Swiss have roses, bells, acorns, and shields for their suits. But it's kind of just a cosmetic difference, right? It's the same thing. Four suits, 52 cards, right? But I just found that very interesting. I had never heard about that before.
Yeah, I mean, each of the suits representing something, again, to that culture or tribe or country, if you will. But those are cultures back in the day, not necessarily countries that we know of.
Right.
It's the area. You know, so many things have changed. Again, there's some indication of the pictures, the artwork, and so on from hundreds of years ago in the tarot, but when it really gained popularity was through Pamela Coleman Smith, you know, and that's why I do love the Rider-Waite deck. Now, I'm just going to read this quickly. She was born in England in 1878, but she was hired around 1903, she joined the Order of the Golden Dawn. It was a psychic society, a spiritual society. In 1909, under the guidance of Arthur Edward Waite, she undertook for token payment a series of 78 allegorical paintings described by Waite as a rectified tarot pack. The designs, published in the same year by William Ryder and Son, exemplify the mysticism, ritual, imagination, fantasy, and deep emotion of the artist. But for her, bless her, you know, despite occasional art shows, it kind of left her disappointed because there was a lot of rejection by commercial publishers back then. She never got married, no known heirs, and she died in 1951, penniless. Mm-hmm. No funeral, no memorial service, but of course, it would go on to be one of the biggest selling tarot card decks pretty much of all time. Now, earlier, again in that 20th century, there was Aleister Crowley. So you come along a little bit in the dark arts.
Aleister Crowley, why does that name sound familiar?
He had his own developed his own deck of tarot cards. But he was more on the dark side of mysticism.
Okay. Yeah, I see him now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, very famous guy.
Yeah.
But then because now you have, you know, a selling product.
So right.
Everybody comes up with their own version of what they believe, you know. I don't think people are putting much thought into it, to be honest. Because each card is a meditation in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, everybody thinks they can make a bit of money. And then from there, you get everything else. But there's so many different tarot card decks to get now. Everything that, and it all depends what you're attracted to. And I mean, whatever you like. I love the Pamela Smith story. I love the Rider-Waite deck. I've tried a few others, but they don't speak to me, you know. Besides, this was the first deck ever given to me.
Mm-hmm.
When my cards, I've had to get a few new sets over the years. I've been doing this a long time. And each deck usually lasts me about, I don't know, 10, 11 years. And then I gift it to somebody. So my oldest daughter got my very first deck. And then I know I have to get a new deck because all the edges are worn and, you know, they get pretty beat up. So I save them until somebody comes along and, you know, if thought pops in my head and I feel inspired and I give them a deck of cards. You know, like they're meant to be yours.
Mm-hmm.
My good friend Shelley got my second deck, I believe, 30-some years ago. But that's because that was part of the old way, too, is you pass it on to someone you think could be, like, who has a gift. So you don't necessarily. It wouldn't be cool in the old days, Michael, to just go out and buy yourself a deck of tarot cards and be what they call a reader. Like Magda would say, anybody can read the cards, but very few people can read and be with people.
Right.
So she's very selective in how are you going to be with people.
Right.
And with that is a whole philosophy, you know, law of non-interference, don't judge people. You know, it's a whole big package of compassion, understanding, and getting out of your own way. So a lot of learning that goes into it. And sometimes, you know, I've reminded people you can tell others a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be scaring people. And there's always something good to say. There's always a way to deliver information.
Right.
But some stuff you don't try to make yourself feel important because you want to tell somebody every detail of things.
Ah, the gossip.
You know, it's, I had a young reader come and tell me how pleased she was with herself that she had done a reading for somebody. She saw a car accident. All the people, she could saw them in her mind and described all these people who died in this car accident. But it would be through the funeral that this woman would meet the love of her life, blah, blah, blah. Mm. I said, oh, ooh. No. Please don't tell people things like that.
Yeah.
It would be reasonable to say you're going to meet somebody through an unsuspecting event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to give them all that information, I find that's in my world, that's irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
That's scaring the crap out of people. Like, yeah. And why do you need to know that? Unless you can do something to help them not, like, prevent it. Because that's the whole thing of a reading. You're catching a wave. You know, this is a wave. But it's like crossing the street. There's so many variables. You're going to get to the other side. But maybe it's raining. And, you know, a car splashes you before you step out. Or you put one foot down on the street and, you know, bicyclist, you know, mows you down. Or you run across the street trying to beat the traffic. And, you know what I mean? There's so many variables to get from here to there.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time I impart certain information is if I feel it's relevant and workable to give somebody a heads up. And what they do with it then is up to them. You know, because I'm not going to get in the way of destiny, but I can certainly shed some light on things. And, oh, you know, that's kind of where we have to be careful. You know, I have often said, like, no, you can't go to work yet. Wait 5 minutes. And to me, yeah. Sure enough, there's been a car accident and they're clearing off the road. But do I need to know the details and to be like have it confirmed all the time? No, you learn to trust your intuition. But that's why in doing a reading for somebody, it's or giving them the heads up is, you know, helping people, aiding in a navigation of life,
mm-hmm.
not scare people.
No, very true.
There, woman, Michael, once who came to me, and I tuned into her body, and I said, I don't mean to scare you, but I have this real insistent spirit that's saying you have to go to the doctor. Like all your levels are low. All your nutrients are low in your body. You really do need to go. Well, I guess I scared her, but I scared her enough to go straight to the hospital.
Right.
And they did blood work. And the doctor said to her, whoever gave you that, told you that, just saved your life. They had to pump her full of, she was low in everything. Her body was dying.
Uh-huh.
And he said, another few days and you would have been gone.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by I have to trust that when I, because I don't like to fear monger, when I get something like that, I want to be able to help and in a good way.
Right.
You know? And it's got to be so insistent in my head that it won't let me go.
Would you call the difference between, you know, there's fear mongering, but isn't there also caution? Where I think there's a reasoned approach that can be taken in that. Of course, I'm not an intuitive person, so I don't really know. I don't get those kind of things. But just in general in life, I think we can always tell the difference between somebody that is doing fear mongering for the sake of the drama,
yeah.
or the sake of the excitement yeah. it produces, or something like that, versus genuine caution, reasoned caution, you know, that kind of thing. But when you're talking, too, it reminds me of, we're talking about, you know, wait 5 minutes. Makes me think of the burnt toast theory. Have you heard of that?
No, remind me if I have.
The burnt toast theory is a metaphorical concept. It really came out on social media. It's talking about how things like burning toast can delay you from leaving on time because you have to remake the toast, which means that you miss a car accident. It prevents a bigger disaster. You know, you might have some kind of other income. It's like a butterfly effect thing. It's been floating around social media for a while, but I thought that was interesting, kind of how they kind of were similar.
Well, yeah, and some things do happen for a reason like that. In my world, they do. And the other thing is you could have had the dial turned up too high.
You know? Right.
It's like, again, you have to know the difference. And because there's so much other psychology going on with us these days, and, and very often we're so polluted, it's very difficult to really get to know who you are. Like taking that time to get to know, you know, who am I? How do I think? How do I process information? How do I see the world? And am I willing to see the world through many different lenses?
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can have all the opinions you want, but not to be judgmental. And judgment comes with punishment, usually. Mm-hmm. And it's usually in a passive-aggressive or subliminal way, or it's subtlety.
Right.
You know, of how we present ourselves, talk to somebody. You know, it's so subtle. And if you're not conscious of doing that, then anything you say is going to come out wrong. And that's a thing. And that's why, you know, part of why I love the process and program at IMHS, you know, that whole bachelor program is designed to help somebody, you know, get in touch with who they are and, you know, do a little critical thinking and objective kind of thinking and see yourself in a new way.
Yeah.
And that's why I appreciated it so much, because that's what's required. But again, I'm always curious also. And when it comes to the tarot, where did they come from? How did they come? It's always a question. Will we ever know? Of course not. But it certainly lends to some cool videos and discussions.
Very much so.
I think so. You know, on that note, if anybody does like us to pull, you know, cards for you, Michael's already put it in the chat. We'd be happy to do that. Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card from Dr. Douglas Kelly. And I'll pull a supporting tarot card.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, as we always like to say, when it comes to the Inner Oracle cards that I pull, it's just, you know, kind of hopefully going to land on something that makes you think, that might connect. But I got to say, I say it occasionally, but I always like to refresh it. I always respect what you do, Dr. Vicky, because I just get to pull some random cards and read from a book. You know, you have the hard job.
But, you know, and again, I don't, you know, I know I've said this before in other programs, but it just, if you alter your consciousness just a little, that's all. And what are the first thoughts that come to mind? And in this way, we have a vehicle. You see, I don't have to work hard because the vehicle is there helping me out. I think it's way more difficult if there wasn't a vehicle. Then I have to tune in a completely different way, and that can be tiring. You know.
Well, we do,
you know,
have some names coming
older.
Up.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, I've gotten older. I used to be able to do more readings in a day. I can't anymore. But one thing I have, and Magda had always said this, it's really important about replenishing energy. But most readers do become ill, or they have something. If I've done a couple of readings, my blood sugar goes down. And I will get a little tired, but if I'm pushing it, then I have to make sure I keep eating, and then I crash. I'm tired. Because, again, you're altering brain waves and the body chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm older. If I do a couple in a day, I'm pretty tired. I got to have a nap. You know, and I know lots of readers who are like that.
Makes sense.
You know, got to do a reading, got to sleep or rest. Yeah. We have Jackie first. What do you got there, Michael?
For Jackie, I have number 3, be who you are, walk your own path. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all the good things and all the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fills yourself.
Well, I got the Emperor, and I think in this case, tapping into some of your own warrior energy, Jackie, that's how I want to that's the first thing that comes to mind. I don't think this is about anybody outside you because, you know, the inner oracle card says be you. And I don't think it's a life situation. I think it's more an internal event taking place of discovering a strength, like be your own boss, be your own emperor. And we, you know, men have feminine energy. Women also have masculine energy. So you're tapping into that and in balancing kind of your own inner strengths and then how you, you know, learn to, it's kind of like a, not just confidence. It's just that I like the word self-certainty and how you then walk in the world is stronger. So I think this is a really good affirmation for you that just keep going. Like it's working.
Good. Good stuff.
She's powering up, Michael.
Nice. All right, Donna, I have you up next. And Donna, for you, I have number 41, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's personal spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and it focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
Hmm. 3 of clubs. So that 3 of wands, in tarot language, is all about the future. Looking into the future. Looking and maybe it's just next week or next year, but it's, oh, and Wendy said you had that card back in April. Matter of fact, April 9th, and we're on September 10th, so that's interesting. I just saw the, like yesterday was the 9th, that's why I thought that, Michael, you know. Communication, looking in the future, it's probably... what is your present situation? How are you communicating? What is your inner circle, partnerships, friendships, you know, and what's working for you, Donna? Can you see yourself having these same conversations with other people, like down the road? Or are you now kind of weeding things out about like who you want to let in and what types of you know, what kinds of relationships that you want. So I think you're reevaluating things right now and maybe you might be tossing some people out. And you know, it's not that you won't say hi to them. It's just maybe they're not coming to Sunday dinner anymore. Maybe.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
All right. Dr. Jeff, always happy to have you. Dr. Jeff, today you get wild card number 4, unknowable. Always an interesting one. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable, unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. change your mind, and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, Jeff, I'm not sure. I think this might belong to Shauna. It's the Queen of Swords here, Queen of Spades. And of course, that's your partner in life and your wife. Unknowable. Like going forward, how do you see her going forward? How does she see herself going forward? Wanting to be more assertive in her work. And that doesn't mean aggressive. It means, I think, really wanting to sink her teeth into something. And you being a support to that, as well as her being a tremendous support to you, as we well know. So it's, there's something brewing here. And kind of like a cosmic magnet. So when it comes to you, you got to jump on it. And I think Shauna's going to be the one to really sink her teeth into it. So I think she's making some big changes. That's
I like
what I think. Yeah.
I love it.
All right. We have Wendy.
Our card keeper herself. Always appreciates what you do. And Wendy, for you tonight, I get number 26, energy signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy. Remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
Wow. Like, two had to come up together. And I got the World and the Two of Hearts. So these alignments that you have, oh, and Wendy said she had that back in March, an energy signature. So the World and the Two of Hearts with energy signature is, I want to say, amplify your own energy. That doesn't mean make it bigger, bolder, stronger. It just means vibrating a little bit higher, because all kinds of opportunities are coming. So you got to make sure that your body's in check, getting enough rest, you know, eating right, kind of making sure that you're in balance to move forward. So I'm not by any stretch telling you what to do. I'm just saying that an energy signature requires everything to be in line, because you're about to turn a corner in. Maybe there was some hurdles or, you know, question marks, but I think this is really positive. You got, again, the World and Two of Hearts. It's all kinds of alignments there. Two of Hearts doesn't necessarily have to be in an intimate partner thing, although it could indicate that, but I'm just saying it can mean any other kind of alliance or allegiance with somebody also. So I think that's a really good sign, Wendy. Just take care of yourself. So good.
I like it. All right, Dr. Kevin, I have for you number 33, preference over principle. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it's a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
Seven of Pentacles. Seven of Diamonds. You know, it's reaping the benefits after all the work. Sometimes I always say it's kind of like a harvest card, you know, at the end of the summer, doing the harvest. But, you know, it's kind of interesting to me about preference over versus principle with that Seven of Diamonds. That's, that kind of gives me a little conundrum for a moment of sometimes in dealing with people, we have to sort that out and be really, really clear. You could be feeling some really good results in your life, or feeling not such good results. But trying to understand the whys of what. Oh, that really sounds complicated, doesn't it, Michael? Sometimes we have to see things from another perspective and know that what we're seeing really is a preference versus the principle of it. But how things turn out has been pretty good. You know? Mm-hmm. But we think maybe that's not good enough, I guess that's what I'm saying. Or that it benefited somebody else more than me, but that's got to be okay. You know, because it's preference over principle.
Right.
Preference over principle, it's one of the, boy, is that ever, it's such a gem. I use it quite frequently, you know. Is this just my preference? Is this a matter of principle? So, I hope that makes sense, Kevin. I know you've been through a lot lately, and looking for, I don't know if things did reach their final outcome in some other business things you had going on or legal things, but that's what I'm getting on this one. So I hope that makes sense.
All right. And we have,
I know we have one more, but can I just, thanks for that. And the feedback, everybody, is great. Jeff said that his wife has applied for a couple of jobs. Casual jobs for some extra cash, and then she had an interview for an oncology position. She is in the medical profession, everybody. Also, her daughter's moving out next week, and so she's been going through a lot of things, so he said that makes sense. So she's taking charge of life in a new way. I think that's awesome.
It's very awesome. I love it.
Yeah. So we have Dr. Stephen H. Maybe not a doctor yet. I don't know.
Well, Stephen H., doctor, and I'm glad to have you here. And I have number 38, open-mindedness for you. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. Hope that connects.
Well, I got, I love this. Open-minded and the Fool. Now, the Fool is the first card or symbol in the Major Arcana. And it's always about adventure. You know, it's always about something new and stepping out of your comfort zone, if you will. As long as you don't jump off a cliff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So being open-minded, Stephen, your life could be taking on a new, I don't know, I feel like I'm breathing new air, kind of something that's, I'm feeling inspired or excited, but also nervous. So maybe, again, this is something that you haven't done before quite in that way, or taking on a little more than you thought you would like to. At the same time, this is really challenging. And so I think that if you keep your mind open, and what I want to say is don't say no when the opportunity comes. You can say, can I think about it for a day?
Mm-hmm.
And then think about it, you know? Not all situations require a yes or a no. You know, can I think about this, talk to you tomorrow or talk to you next week? And again, just stay open-minded.
All right.
So, something very cool is coming.
I like it. I think that's it for cards for us tonight, unless I miss somebody.
Oh, but Michael, look at how fast 45 minutes went by.
I'm telling
See?
You.
I know. We're at the end of time anyway.
I'm that's telling
awesome.
You. But...
You know, I want to just ask everybody, please stay curious out there. Don't lose yourself in the world. Stay curious about learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like my daughter asked me today, so have you been on your treadmill? I went, no. I will. But even if you do it for 10 minutes, you know, do a little research online about metaphysics, UFOs, or, you know, something out there. I don't care. Go be foo-foo for 10 minutes. Just open your mind and be curious. Now, then, of course, use your critical thinking to weed out the cucka. But, you know, it's exercising the mind and, you know, again, the curiosity. You know, we are naturally curious beings. So exercise your curiosity just like you would on a treadmill.
I like it.
Go slow, though. Again, thanks for the feedback, everybody.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Like I said, you know, stay safe. Look out for one another. Never give up on critical thinking. You know, don't believe something just because it's said. You know, find out the reasons underpinning it. And, you know, I can't wait to have you back next week. I'm not entirely sure what we're going to go over just yet, but we're going to have something good for you. And I can't wait to see you then. Dr. Vicky, of course, any last thoughts before we sign off?
Well, of course. Don't let them push you around out there.
Darn tootin'. So,
there you go.
Can't wait to see you guys next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.